This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
And we are live this afternoon downtown at The Pint, 109th Street and Jasper. You can email us at nationradio@theteam1260.com. Welcome from the Globe and Mail today, James Myrtle. James, how are you, man?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What's the weather like in the Big Smoke?
It's been cold here. I mean, maybe I shouldn't complain. I don't know what it's like in Edmonton, but it hasn't been that much above freezing for April so far, which isn't very good.
Oh, it's about sunny and about 19 here, so we got you beat a little. I'm lying.
Well, you know what? I'm from Kamloops. I grew up in Kamloops, so my parents are there, and I get updates from them. And it is sunny and 19 there some days in April, so I'm jealous of them.
Well, it's sunny right now, and it's going to be 14 sometime this weekend. I can't remember whether it's today or tomorrow. So we're enjoying ourselves, but we've had a long, bloody winter, let me tell you. I'm looking across the street right now, and there's a bunch of snow. Hey, let's get to the subject at hand. One of the things I like about talking to you about Toronto is you most of the times when I'm talking to Leaf fan, I got to divide things in half, but you give me the straight information. And I think James Reimer is a guy who Toronto fans should legitimately be excited about. That guy has really taken off.
Yeah, no, I think they definitely should be excited. But, you know, I think probably the way to approach James Reimer is to be cautiously optimistic and hope that he can keep up this great run. I mean, he's got a great attitude. He works his tail off. He's got a lot of talent. And, you know, I think the reason to be cautious is just because you look at the young goaltenders that have had a great season and then sort of tailed off, like Steve Mason. And, you know, I think what the Leafs need to do is just not put all their eggs in the one basket here and not say, okay, Reimer's our number one. He's going to start 65 games next year. I think they should give him some support in case he does start slow or does run into, you know, some hurdles there next season. But yeah, I mean, he's played exceptionally well.
Is there any possibility, and I'm asking this because we're sort of looking at Dubnyk as maybe a possible invite, has anybody mentioned Canada World Hockey Championships in regard to Reimer?
Yes, I think that's going to happen for sure.
Okay.
You know, it hasn't been confirmed, but, you know, it's something I remember first writing about maybe a month ago. Basically, when Brian Burke didn't put Reimer on the list of players who were going to play in the AHL playoffs for the Toronto Marlies, it sort of, you know, it went off in my head a little bit as sort of a sign that they had other plans for him. And I think the other plans were for him to go play for Canada at the Worlds. He hasn't heard anything about that yet, but from what I'm told, it's going to happen.
You tweeted this week an astounding stat. Tyler Bozak, at the time, had more time on ice than the Sedins. That's an incredible item, number one. And number two, that's got to be the biggest need for the Leafs this summer, a number one center.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you watch the game tonight, they're debuting a 21-year-old named Joe Colburn, who they got for Thomas Kavrla as the number one center. He's going to be playing with Phil Kessel tonight. So I think, you know, in the piece I wrote for the Globe today, I sort of said this shows how big the need for a center is in Toronto, that they're putting this 21-year-old kid in there for his first NHL game. You know, I think Burke's going to have to look long and hard at getting some kind of a veteran to come in and play with Kessel, because for at least the first half of this season, the Leafs just couldn't score a goal.
Is Richard still there? If he becomes a free agent, would he be their number one option?
I don't think so. No, I don't think there's a great fit there. His age doesn't really fit in sort of the wheelhouse for what the Leafs are building. He's going to want a long-term deal, a big money deal. I don't think the Leafs are that interested in it. There could be a fit if, you know, basically Richard's top three choices are to stay in Dallas, to go back to Tampa Bay, or to go play for the Rangers for his former coach in John Tortorella. That's what he's looking at. And if he can get a deal that's, you know, 7 years, $7 million a year with one of those teams, I think that's definitely where he's going to go. If that doesn't work out, then maybe Toronto comes into the picture as one of his, you know, his backup choices. But I think it's sort of a long shot for Richards to come to Toronto.
So then Colburn, who by the way, played for Camrose in the AJHL before going to U Denver, does he have a shot at making the team next year with Grabowski and all of those other guys in the mix?
I don't know. That's a tough question. I mean, it's really going to depend on if they bring in a center. I think Burke's going to try and bring in someone with a little bit more experience than that, just because of what happened with Bozak this year, where he really struggled in that role. The Leafs are really, really weak at center. So, you know, maybe there's a chance for Colburn to play some of the season with the team. It depends, you know, I think on how well he does in training camp, really. I mean, there's going to be a battle there between Bozak and Kadri and Colburn. And, you know, and there's a spot probably as a third line center there for one of those guys. So we'll see what kind of an offseason they have and what kind of a training camp they have.
Moving over to the wing, Joffrey Lupul has played well as a Leaf.
Yeah, he has. You know, and I talked to a lot of people in Edmonton who said, you know, basically that he's a bum and he's not going to bring very much to the table.
That's because they traded him for Pronger, just so you know.
Yeah. Joffrey's a great guy. I mean, I really like talking to him. He's a very friendly person. He's fit in really, really well with the team, and he's played really well. You know, I think he really wants to prove a lot of people wrong. You know, people in Anaheim that basically gave up on him after he worked very, very hard to come back from an injury. He missed a year of hockey. He was bedridden. He lost about 35 pounds, and you can tell. I mean, he's in great physical shape. He's really battled very hard to come back. And he seems determined to sort of become a better player than he has been to date. And we'll see. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of a season he has next year when he does have an off season where he can train and get ready and hopefully be healthy. You know, I think that the back issues, no one really talks about them. I think they still give him a little bit of trouble, and there's a little bit of concern there whether or not he can play a full season, but he's played really, really well so far.
Yeah, he had a tough time here, and I think a lot of it was due to the fact that, you know, who he was traded for, and he did struggle, and he maybe wasn't the perfect winger on a Craig McTavish team, but it was very obvious even before the Oilers had traded for him that he had goal-scoring skill, which is extremely valuable. So I know a lot of us are hoping that he turns it around, and it's good to see him doing well in Toronto. What's your opinion? I've heard varying degrees of anger, and then finally, you know, the NHL's finally doing something about it. What's your opinion of the Rafi Torres four-game suspension?
It does seem a little bit high to me. You know, it's the climate right now for hits like that is really, really interesting, where they're trying to crack down on them as much as possible. And the situation, you know, with the Oilers player was down a little bit, and Torres, I don't think, was trying to hit him in the head and then did. I mean, that's going to be one of the tough things for the NHL here, is that there's contact with the head in hockey all the time. And I think they need to decide, you know, what exactly they're going to do and what kind of suspensions they're going to levy. I haven't, to be honest, I've been following the Leafs. I haven't heard a lot of the discussion out of Edmonton on how they felt about it. But, you know, it's going to be interesting if they want to penalize every hit that severely. Because to me, 2 games in the regular season, 2 games in the playoffs, I mean, that's equivalent of, what, 6 or 7 games in the regular season?
Yeah.
That's a big suspension.
To me, that the actual hit that occurred on Jordan Eberle, this is the only time I can recall in NHL history where that would be a 4-game suspension because of the sensitivity. So I think it's a message thing. That's what I think. But bad luck to Rafi Torres for having, you know, made that hit at the exact wrong time in NHL history, and it cost him.
Yeah, I think in general it's a good thing that they're penalizing the sort of elbow contact to the head, which, you know, they've really been looking out for the past couple months. But, you know, it's going to make for a lot of tough calls for the hockey operations department.
You've been in Toronto following the Leafs all year. I know you've probably followed the Oilers a little bit. What's your opinion of their rebuild? How do you see it going, and do you see progress happening in Edmonton from where you are?
You know, when they came through Toronto in December, they looked great. I mean, they kicked butt over the Leafs, and it was a real low point for Toronto, I think, in Brian Burke's tenure, was when the Oilers came in, and their rebuild looked so much better than the Leafs at that point. But it's been a real struggle. You know, I really like Devan Dubnyk. I think he's going to be a solid goaltender. You know, he's a guy I actually saw play quite a bit of his junior career in Kamloops, and you know, I think he's got the tools to be an NHL goalie, and I'm really glad to see that he's done so well at Edmonton. So there's one foundation piece that I don't think a lot of people talk about Dubnyk, but, you know, you combine that with some of the forwards they've got. They've got another great pick that they're going to find out if it's first or second overall here next week. You know, I think that it's going to be really, really interesting what they do and how that core comes together. There have been a lot of teams that have gotten young and gotten really, really good and won the Stanley Cup, like the Penguins and the Blackhawks, but there have been even more teams that have gone really, really young like that and that haven't really turned into much of anything. You know, if you think of the St. Louis Blues or the Colorado Avalanche or the Florida Panthers, I mean, there's a lot of teams that haven't been able to turn that into anything. So that's going to be the real challenge for Edmonton to do that.
And I think the key question for Oilers fans now, and it's one that I haven't really gotten a good answer on, and I don't know if there is one, is how long, if you devote yourself and say, okay, I'm on board with the rebuild, how long does a good rebuild take, and how long before you realize that this is, you know, not going to work out? I mean, it's a, you have to be patient, but at what point do you start questioning, you know, the rebuild and say, hey, maybe we should send in some free agents here and improve this team that way?
Exactly, yeah, and that's the question in Toronto, too, with the Leafs. I mean, it's, you know, before they had this surge, it was, you know, how long is this going to actually take? Because Brian Burke's been here 3 years now. Ron Wilson has been here 3 years, and they've yet to make the playoffs. So, you know, I think that here in Toronto, they're looking for signs of progress from the Leafs next season. I think they're thinking this should be a playoff team in a weak Eastern Conference, or else, you know, we've been a little bit too patient with them if they're not making the playoffs by that point. With the Oilers, you know, they haven't started to show that progress in the standings yet. I mean, they're last place again. So I think next year probably people are going to be looking for the team to at least be a little bit more competitive than it was this year. You know, you're right. At some point, they got to start moving in the other direction.
Well, and I think that you know, next year we'll see a lot of, I think the fans will be less patient, but we'll see. It's yeah. There's an incredible degree of goodwill Oilers fans have towards this team, and it was shown last night with a standing ovation after a loss in the final home game. Let's switch gears and go to Ottawa now. Brian Murray, 3-year contract. Did that shock you or stun you?
Well, just knowing the relationship between the owner and Brian Murray, you know, nothing with those two would really shock me anymore. I mean, he's a GM with many lives at this point, you know. And I think if you look back to Brian Murray's tenure in Anaheim, he did a really good job there and put a lot of the foundation in place. I mean, a lot of people now are talking about Corey Perry as being the Hart Trophy winner, and there's a guy that Brian Murray drafted in Anaheim, and he also drafted Ryan Getzlaf in that great 2003 draft. So, you know, I don't think Brian Murray's an idiot, but it's another situation where the team was awful this year, and they're talking about going to a full-scale rebuild, and you have to wonder if the guy that put you into that situation where the team was so bad that you wanted to go into that rebuild is the guy you want to take them out. And I think there's parallels there with what happened in Edmonton.
Yeah, and also, I mean, if we go back to when Muckler, I mean, they went to the finals. That was a hell of a hockey club that they had. And, I mean, some of that circumstances, the Heatley and all that stuff. But I was surprised by the 3-year tenure there, because Brian Murray isn't a young man. I imagine that they'll have to bring in a, you know, the Kenny Holland item for somewhere in Ottawa over the next couple of years to have someone to follow Brian Murray as general manager, because this is very likely his last gig, right?
Yeah, no, I would think so, yeah. And there was a lot of talk that he wasn't going to come back because of his personal choices, that he didn't want to come back, and that he was, you know, willing to step into a more, you know, more of a subordinate role or something like that. So something Melnick must have said must have convinced him to stay on and see this process through. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can sort of reestablish his reputation as a guy who can build a top team.
If they're going full bore rebuild, is Spezza then in play during the summertime?
That contract is going to be awfully difficult to move. You know, yeah. I think that's one of those contracts that's going to be really tough. I mean, if you're a team that's trying to rebuild and you want to move him out, you probably want to bring back some young pieces. But I don't know if you can get those with a guy with a contract like that. I mean, it reminds me sort of the Scott Gomez situation a little bit. And, you know, kudos to the Rangers for getting a good young player out of that situation, because Gomez has not worked out in Montreal. And, you know, I think with Spezza, you know, they were saying it during the game on Thursday night that essentially, you know, he's a guy that can score 2 goals and be -2 in the game. And I just don't know what kind of value he's going to have on the market.
No. One final question for you, James. Who wins the Masters tomorrow?
I have no idea. I'm afraid I haven't been watching it. How's Tiger doing?
He had a hell of a run yesterday. He did very well. I think he was -7 and the leader's -10. So, yeah, pick Tiger. You could be right. There's no prize for this.
I'd like to watch more of it, but it's, you know, this time of year is just, you know, yesterday was one of the busiest days I've had of the year. You're just trying to wrap everything up, and then we're going to be doing playoff coverage starting on Monday and Tuesday. So it's, you know, I'll be on a plane or in a car going off to a playoff game. So, you know, don't really have a lot of time to watch the golf, unfortunately.
James, thanks so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, James Myrtle from the Globe and Mail. Interesting conversation there about the Leafs and the Oilers and Brian Murray getting a three-year deal. It's 12:41, and coming up, we're going to talk to Bob Ridley, Medicine Hat Tigers play-by-play man.